Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Blot Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. It's a Thursday, getting close to the weekend, and we're getting close to the holiday. I mean, like I said, all next week my kids got their freaking Christmas programs, and they're done on the 20th. And you know, today we're having our Christmas lunch at work. And I think, you know, last year she let us work from home. Our boss, she let us work from home pretty much, I think, from like December, like maybe 17th till like mid-January. So I'm sure it's gonna happen this time, but for me, I'm on call this time around, so I'll probably go to the office anyway to work, because as much as I love being around family and kids, too many distractions usually. Anyways, guys, it's been a pretty slow pit news dump, to say the least. Pitt's obviously making their rounds. The staff is, or doing their in-house visits with recruits, and you know, they obviously lost a recruit not too long ago, and they may be on the verge of losing another one, and supposedly it's another one of their coveted recruits. And I mean, this just what happens when, you know, the season ends and 11th and 10th, because I believe, you know, there's two dates for 11th and 10th day, and there's the early period and there's the later one. So we're going to see a lot more of this, because if that's coming up, so they, you know, these kids got to make their decisions. And a lot of these kids, if you remember back in the summer, back in, I think, June or July, Pitt pretty much wiped the floor with recruits, grabbed a whole bunch. But of course, a lot of them got offers in camp. But as the season goes on, the stock goes up, and of course, They're probably hearing from a more attractive, I guess, suitors. And for some, you know, they may have had interests of other schools, but just didn't like the coaching staff. Wasn't crazy about it. Now that there's new staffs and whatnot, they now can revisit the things, which is what, you know, which is why, you know, Kadri Jackson, maybe like a few days after he decommitted from Pitt, he goes to Mack Brown at UNC. Mack Brown's going to be a problem to recruit against in the ACC for the time being, because he was a hell of a recruiter at Texas. But one thing about Mack Brown is he, what people forget is he left Texas in an absolute mess. I mean, they were a lot worse off than when he took over in the end. I mean, they were, you know, they were mediocre when he took them over. I mean, they were competitive in the Southwest Conference, but that league was very weak at one point. And you know, when they got to the Big 12, things got tougher. But you know, they were, you know, still somewhat a mediocre program, but you know, they were still Texas. He finally built them up. He had Major Applewhite, Chris Sims, all those guys, Ricky Williams. And eventually, the program took off. And then he had Vince Young, and the rest was history. They won a national title, and then like a few years later, they won one with the... Well, they didn't win a national title. They went to the national title game with Colt McCoy. Colt got hurt in that game, and then rather than, you know, come back in the game, he sat out because of his draft stock. And he only... He ended up going only third round anyway, and of course he hasn't done dick since then. He's been a glorified backup for the most part. But after that, Matt got very lazy in recruiting, because the thing about Texas is that program at one point was recruiting itself. And just as, you know, 11th, 10th day came and people were wrapping up the class before, the new class, he would have that already wrapped up before summer. And the thing about recruiting is you never stop recruiting no matter what. Well, they stopped recruiting. So all those really good players that just came out of nowhere, that they would not recruit because they already had players locked in, they went elsewhere. And that's why you had so many Big 12 programs start to blossom. That's why Baylor did so well. Because a lot of the kids that they were getting, Texas wasn't recruiting. They stopped because they stopped recruiting. And of course, Texas Tech with Mike Price, those guys started to do really well. You know, they were contenders until Jesus Christ, Mike Leach. I get Mike Leach. I don't know why I get freaking the old coach from Bama that went to the strip clubs with Mike Leach. I mean, yeah, you know, they're kind of similar in some ways. I mean, they're characters at one point. But yeah, that's why Mike Leach and Texas Tech got really good. Because Texas just stopped recruiting, and eventually it just reared its ugly head. And Texas started to be really bad, and then, you know, Brown obviously had to, you know, leave. Charlie Strong takes over, and he tries to rebuild the talent, and he did, but it just he just didn't have the coaching to go with it. So that's why Tom Herman's there. Tom Herman will obviously, I think he'll get Texas back to, you know, respectability, but I'm not sure if they'll be a powerhouse like they were before, you know, like people said they were at one point. But I think with Pitt, you know, if I'm Pitt, I'm telling these recruits, yeah, Mac did so well at Texas, but look what happened to him when he left, and what a disaster it was. You know, and I think if Mac hasn't learned from his mistakes, I think North Carolina's going to take a bigger nosedive eventually than what it did under Fedora. So, all I can say with that is stay tuned, because you know what? Obviously, Mac has starting to get some swagger, but his team has yet to take the field, so we won't know much until they take the field. Hopefully, Pitt beats them this time. That's all I can say. So, you know, one person posted the recruiting classes for Pitt and their rankings, and I guess under our doozy, they've gone down drastically, and well, it's hard because of what they're, you know, I think what they need is, they got a lot of Big Ten shields and, you know, I mean, which, you know, I guess is good and bad, but you need some guys with some ACC pedigree, some guys who can go to these Atlantic coasts and have these relationships and then go recruit places and sell it. I mean, Pitt's obviously done well in Florida, but the problem with Florida kids is, they can be hard to recruit because when other schools from the South come knocking, finally, they start to listen, because if they don't have to go to Pittsburgh to play ACC football, they won't. They'll go to North Carolina, they'll go to Georgia. Heck, they'll even stay in Florida if they have to. So anyways, it's just a lot of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, as far as all that goes, guys, I can just say stay tuned to it. You know, we still have the bowl game yet. And next week, I'll probably I'll review the Pitt season. And, you know, I'll probably do one where it's the positive one. I'll do the negative one. Yeah, I'll have to figure that format out. I'll do that next week. Probably right before, be good right before Christmas. But anyways, guys, other hot topics is Mike Tomlin. Obviously, after the Oakland loss, I'm seeing a lot of hot takes, a lot of people bringing up records and stats and whatnot. Because, basically, the consensus is we got to get rid of Mike Tomlin is what it is. The thing about Mike Tomlin is to get rid of him is going to be very hard to do. Well, one thing is, it's, all boils down to what the Rooneys want to do. And, looking back, I remember when I used to, my family is, still got Steelers season tickets. I was going to the games in the 90s. I went to all the Steelers home games from probably 88 to probably 2008, 2009, I remember. That's 2008 is pretty much when the last time I went to home games, and so that was my time, and I did that for about 20 years. Shoot, time flies. But I just remember when things started to go really bad for Bill Cowher, and that was back in 98. The Steelers took a nosedive that season, and then the next year it got progressively worse. I mean, they both years they start off with winning records, but then there was a certain loss where they just took a nosedive. Obviously, the one was in 98 was the Thanksgiving Day game with the heads tails. Steelers lost that game, and I think at the time they were 7-4. And they lost the rest of the year, I remember. They didn't win a single game after that. And there was a lot of turmoil. Cowher benches Cordell, I remember. And Cordell cried on the sidelines. Then the next year, they started out 5-3, I remember. They lose to Cleveland, really, in the closing seconds. And they only won one game the rest of the year, and it was against freaking Carolina, I remember. But Cowher, he put all of his eggs in the Cordell, and I know Cowher really loved Cordell. I mean, he had a really good relationship with Cordell, and I think Cowher really wanted Cordell to succeed in this league. Because it was a league of pro passers. And it's funny when people talk about how Michael Vick revolutionized the quarterback game, how he was mobile, this and that. Cordell was about as mobile as Vick was, if not more. It's just he didn't run as much as Vick did. But at the time, it was a pro-style pocket passer league, and we didn't really adapt much to Cordell. I mean, there was so much you could have done with Cordell, and we didn't, I don't think we did enough with him that we should have. In today's game now, he would be a real, he would definitely do very well. I mean, he was, even back in that time, he was at the MVP of the league 1 year. And I think he would, I think he'd be, even more bigger than that. I mean, he should have had at least one Super Bowl. And that was the 2001 game, and that was all kind of disaster. I mean, Cordell had a bad game, but that whole team did, for the most part. That was 1 year. I mean, that was, if there's one Super Bowl the Steelers should have won, it was that one. And they didn't. That was a really good team that year. They just had it all together. But after that 99 season, there was rumors of Cowher resigning, and there was a lot of stuff his personal life came up, and I think none of it was true. And same with Cordell as well. there was personal, there was, his personal life came up as well. That's how bad things were. And with Cower, it died. But the problem with Correll is his rumors have followed him ever since he left. They've followed him everywhere he goes, and he still has to, address them every time. You know, I remember he was on with Colin Dunlap. That's all he talked about was his rumors about his sexuality. I mean, it really, it still to this day troubles him. But after those two bad seasons, we got rid of Tom Donahoe, and that was it. We went through several coordinators, Bray Sherman and Kevin Gilbride, until we found a coach who could work with Correll. And of course, that well would run dry after 2001 because teams eventually caught on. In 2002, we had to replace Correll with Tommy Maddox, and that was that. But under Cower's tenure, anytime we've had underperforming seasons, we've had coaching changes. I mean, 2003, we were 6-10, and Tim Lewis, they got rid of Tim Lewis, and we brought back Dick LeBeau, and Mike Mularkey took a head coaching job somewhere else, and that was that. In those cases, 99 by today's standards, Cower probably would have been fired anywhere. But the Rooneys held on to them, and that's the thing with Tomlin is they're going to hold on. They're very loyal, and I think they're going to hold on to Tomlin. And if anything, they're going to probably if things go really south, they'll probably just make some coaching changes. And that's all they can do. I mean, if they're underperforming, then get rid of guys. What really gets me is through all this crap and through all these things that are happening with the Steelers, I find it odd that of all the people, the kicker has to re-audition for his job again. I mean, personally, if I'm Boswell, Boswell's a Rice graduate, for God's sakes. Boswell really doesn't even need the money because he could probably go somewhere and go make $100,000 a year. So if I were him, I would have just asked for my buyout, what money I can get from my contract, and I would just say, go ahead, go find another kicker. Because up until this point, he's done pretty well, so I don't get it. I just don't think he should, of all the people, he should be one being held accountable. I get that some of his kicks have cost him games, but a lot of these other guys need to be held accountable as well. But the problem is the talent on this team overall sucks so bad that they can't really hold anybody accountable because you can't bench somebody. You're gonna bench the sucky guy for the even more suckier guy. And there you have it. But they created that mess, and I think you also got to bring Kevin Colbert to the plate as well and figure out why are we drafting so bad and why are guys not panning out? And that's all you can do. So, it's going to take a lot for Tomlin to get fired. I don't see them firing Mike Tomlin at all. And, of course, if he does get fired, social media will go in an uproar over it as well. Although I don't think the Steelers really care about what Twitter thinks about those matters as well, because Twitter doesn't really pay their salary. Season ticket holders do, and that's that. So we'll see what happens. And this is a big game, obviously, this week. And New England, they came off a heartbreaker, so they're gonna be pretty pissed off. And well, there you have that. All I can hope for is that the Steelers can stop Brady and company and get some points on the board and not screw themselves over. But anyways, guys, there's a part of that mess done. But other than that, there's really not much going on. Speaking of Pirates, Neil Huntington, I guess, turned down a a job with the Giants, which, you know, would have been a really good job for him, but he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. And I know people hate him, but I think overall he's done pretty well for what he has, and I'm not sure, you know, what they've done is part of his doing as well, because when they were at their height, they should have made some moves and got some players in, because I find it odd that a lot of players that they did have and they got rid of, they ended up on playoff teams, and some of them ended up in, you know, winning World Series rings. I mean, they had Charlie Morton, and, you know, Morton's been, you know, mediocre for most of his career, but he really surged with the Astros, and this past year he was 15-3, and he had over 200 strikeouts, I think. And I mean, that World Series run that they had, I mean, Game 7 against the New York Yankees, he had the pitch, and people laughed because they said, ha, 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 Charlie Morton's got a freaking pitch against the Yankees. The Astros had to rely on Charlie Morton. Morton shut down the Yankees. And then Game 7 of the World Series, he comes in relief, shuts down the Dodgers, and that's that. I mean, after that, the guy was just on another world. I mean, every time he got on that mound, he was just confident as can be. And I hope when he signed a 2-year, $30 million deal. And I guess a lot of the Astros faithful were all pissed off that that the Astros let him go. You know, I hope, you know, whatever you learn in Houston, he takes it with him to Tampa Bay. I mean, the guy's 35, so you can't really put too much money into a 35-year-old pitcher. I mean, and the Astros also had Garrett Cole, and Cole had an awesome season as well. I mean, they loved him here in Houston as well. You know, there was other Pirate players as well that got rings, and it's just odd that that happened. I mean, you know, Kutch obviously is, you know, with the Phillies now. He was in the playoffs with the Yankees. You know, Kutch had 20 homers, 65 RBIs last year, and he got a pretty big contract. I mean, I don't know if I'd pay him much for, you know, for what he has, but other than offensive output, he can do a lot of other stuff. So if that's the case, then, you know, it's their money. So hopefully it works out for Philly. And who knows? Hopefully Philly will get a ring. But, I mean, that was a time when the Pirates should have struck when the iron was hot, and they didn't. And I think it's come back to bite them, and now they're rebuilding again. And that's why I'm with the Astros in the 2017. They had a really good team, but they were one ace away from winning the World Series. And there was, you know, certain local media people were screaming for them to make a deal for Verlander. And it took some time, but after discussions, they, you know, the ownership gave them the green light to go deal, to go all in for Verlander, and they did. And without Verlander, they're not winning that World Series, and it worked out for both parties. Verlander got his ring, and the Astros got their ring. But, you know, enough of that. Also, with Pitt Hoops, you know, we just had another player leave. Peace, I'm not going to say his last name because I'm going to botch it. He leaves the program, and, you know, I think with the Stallings kids now, they're great kids. I'm happy they stayed and they competed. But ACC is another animal, and these guys just don't have it. And I think, you know, they're realizing it now, and they're leaving. I think there'll be more. I think there'll be more to come. I mean, I think Sham Stevenson will probably leave too, which sucks, because I liked Sham last year, and I thought he had a lot of potential to be really good. But maybe, you know. But I think he's gonna be the next to go as well. And that's, you know, that's a shame, but it's part of life. You know, When your best players or guys are guys that pretty much are freshmen, that's what happens. But hopefully it works out for Pitt here, because they're going to need all the help they can get. Anyways, guys. Oh, you know what? I forgot one last thing to talk about. I was about to leave. The Heisman voting. I forgot to talk about this. One thing that Sean Salisbury told me one time on his radio show is, well, not me personally, but what I heard on Sean Salisbury's show. I should reword that like I'm some sort of media guy or something. Like, oh yeah, I talk to Sean all the time. No, Sean mentioned one thing that the Heisman voters do is they mail in their ballots before championship weekend. And I thought that Tua from Alabama was going to win it based on that. But I was just shocked to see that Kyler Murray cleaned house. And people are pissed off over this. But, Tua had a lot of talent around him. And obviously he was one of the better quarterbacks of the year. But he went up against Georgia and he struggled. And he was then knocked out of the game. That happens. I mean, he just... That's just a blemish there. And, Kyler Murray was pretty good for most of the year. And he always put up good production. And people said, well, he played against a league that has no defense. And that's true, but I don't know. You get to the best player. The Heisman doesn't always go to the best player, and we know that personally, because look at Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, it's today's the 15-year anniversary when he got screwed over. And I can understand the whole national media, a lot of those guys voting for Jason White, but the local media voting him was total bush league and bullshit. And I hate when the local media questions Pitt fans' loyalty to their program. They're so quick to call out our fan attendance when they don't even freaking support Pitt when we need them. And that was a time where we need the local media to cast their votes for Larry Fitzgerald, and they didn't. If Larry Fitzgerald wore blue and white, he would have got the votes. There's no doubt. And they can sit there and they can cry, they can get mad about all they want. But if he wore blue and white, he would have got the votes. He would have definitely got the votes. Same with West Virginia as well. And I forget why. And, Ron Cook had his reasons for it, and I think Bob did as well. And, of course, Bob was doing it at a time where it was all right to stir the pot. Because this is when Mark Madden came on, and this is when he was at his height in Pittsburgh. Madden loved to stir the pot and go against the grain, take different opposing, devil's advocate things. And that's what a lot of these guys started doing because they knew that's what got them attention. But it was total bullshit. I mean, it was garbage. Larry Fitzgerald was the best player in college football of the year, regardless of the record. But hey, we gotta stir the pot. You just can't vote for Larry because of this. Jason White moves the needle. I mean, it was a bunch of crap. And like I said just now, I mean, I'm sure these guys are butthurt because Trace McSorley, didn't get in the Heisman ballot because they would have tripped all over themselves to vote for McSorley. Hell, I'm sure they voted for Larry Johnson first place. But I mean, let's cut the BS. If Larry would have played anywhere else, whether it was West Virginia or Penn State, they would have voted for him. They would have given him a first place vote. I'm not sure what Steve Pearson or Norty or whoever it was did the piss in their wheeze at that time. But that's just, that's how it was. I know at one point there was bad blood between Pitt and the PG because I guess during the Dixon hiring, when the decision was made to hire Dixon, that morning there was two papers that came out. The Tribune Review had the article on Dixon being selected. The Post-Gazette was still talking about Pitt's coaching search. And basically, Pitt gave the news to the Tribune, not the PG. And I remember there was a lot of lashing out from the local columnists against Pitt. I think Smizek came on Madden Show, I remember, and trashed Pitt up and down. And I think him and Cook also wrote some nasty articles about Pitt. And I think, you know, there were some... And up until then, there were some negative articles being written about Pitt. And I think Pitt didn't have an AD at the time because Pearson was gone. And you know what? Lovis is making sense now. Because, you know what? 2003 is when they hired Dixon. And then later that year is when they... So, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some bad blood there. Some painness. But I think at that time, I think Pitt leadership was tired of their bullshit and decided to put them in their place. And of course, in the end, it may have cost us Heisman votes. Who knows? Anyways, enough of the JFK stuff. Have a weekend, guys. Hail to Pitt.